Kidney School. www.kidneyschool.org. Module 9. Nutrition and Fluids for People on Dialysis. Hello, I'm Brian O'Moore, a member of the Life Options Rehabilitation Advisory Council. I've had kidney disease for over 20 years. Life Options developed the Kidney School to help you self-manage your kidney disease so you can feel your best and do the things that you enjoy. On behalf of Life Options, I hope you find this information helpful and you use it to improve your life. I'm having a good life with kidney disease, and you can too. Food. It's a vital part of our culture and our family traditions. Meals are something we look forward to each day. Food is love, comfort, and memories. We all have favorite foods and things we don't like, foods we learned to like over time, and foods we used to eat but don't eat anymore. We may have pounds to lose or weight to gain. We may love to cook or never set foot in the kitchen. But any way we look at it, food is a big part of life. A chronic illness like kidney failure can require changes in your eating and drinking habits. These lifestyle changes can be hard to understand and even harder to make. If you have kidney failure, with or without diabetes, meal planning may even seem almost impossible. As one patient said, "From what I have read, we're supposed to buy something to eat, throw it in the trash, and eat the box that it came in. Everything else is bad for us." Don't worry, we can help. In this module, we'll try to make it clearer for you. Stick with us and we'll teach you about food and drinks and give you practical tips to make your life easier. What if I have CKD but not kidney failure? This module is designed to help you learn about meal planning for peritoneal dialysis, PD, or standard in-center hemodialysis, HD, with or without diabetes. Other types of dialysis, like daily or nocturnal HD, have a near-normal diet. If you have an early stage of chronic kidney disease, or CKD, talk to your doctor about what to eat and what to avoid. He or she may refer you to a dietitian who can help you with a meal plan. This meal plan might include limiting protein. Some research shows that you can slow the rate of some CKD by eating less protein. Another reason to eat less protein is avoiding a buildup of urea. Other studies suggest limiting protein may be risky if it leads to malnutrition. Talk to your doctor about what's best for you. Drinking more fluids. Your doctor may want you to drink plenty of fluids to help flush out wastes. If you have a history of kidney stones, drinking more water is recommended. Taking phosphate binders. Having too much phosphorus can harm your bones. You may be asked to take phosphate binders, drugs that attach like magnets to extra molecules of phosphorus and pull them out of your blood. Eating less phosphorus. You cannot avoid all foods with phosphorus, but it is good to learn about how to eat less phosphorus. Limiting salt. If your blood pressure is high, your doctor may want you to eat less salt to help keep your kidneys working longer. Your doctor and a renal or kidney dietitian can help you sort out your meal planning. If you don't have a dietitian, your doctor may be able to refer you to one. If you want to learn more about what your meal plans might be like when you are on dialysis, keep listening. We'll help you understand what to eat more of and what to eat less of if you choose PD or standard in-center HD. Our goal is to show you how you can take charge of your food and fluids. If you do, you can feel better, improve your lab results, and have a better quality of life. Here's a sneak preview of what we'll be covering in this program. Nutrition basics, getting the right amounts of key nutrients, planning meals and eating out, and strategies for lifestyle changes. So, let's get started. Your dietitian. You're not alone in your meal planning. Each dialysis unit has a registered dietitian who can help you sort out your best food options, help you learn how your food choices affect your lab test results, help you to plan meals and fitting in your favorite foods, and to figure out what to eat in restaurants. If you already see your dietitian on a regular basis, great! Your dietitian can help you understand how important it is to make good food choices and help you to stay with your meal plan. If you have not seen your clinic's dietitian yet, or you need more information to help you plan healthy meals, ask your doctor or nurse about setting up a time with a dietitian. To learn more about the dietitian's role, listen to Module 3, Working with Your Healthcare Team. Calories, calories, calories. Most of us have been hearing about calories all our lives, but what are they exactly? Calories are a measure of the energy in a food. Our bodies are like motors that need energy to run. We use food as fuel to give us energy, and we burn energy when we do our daily activities, exercise, and even sleep. If we eat more calories than we burn, we gain weight. If we eat fewer calories than we burn, we lose weight. How many calories do you need in a day? It depends on how active you are. Studies have shown that most people need between 30 and 35 calories per day for each kilogram of body weight, or 2.2 pounds. If you don't move around much, are very overweight, or are over the age of 60, you may need fewer calories to keep the same body weight. If you are under age 60, use this formula to find out how many calories you may need in a day. Your weight in pounds divided by 2.2 times 35 equals the number of calories. If you are 60 years old or over, use this formula to find out how many calories you may need in a day. Your weight in pounds divided by 2.2 times 30 gives you the number of calories you'll need. Talk with your dietitian to see if he or she suggests this amount or a different amount, depending on your lifestyle. How many calories do you eat and drink in a day? The best way to find out is to keep track. Keep a diary of every bite of food you eat for a few days, and then talk to your dietitian about your total calories each day. If you are on PD, the dextrose or sugar in your PD solution adds about 400 to 800 empty calories per day. You'll stay healthier if you eat nutritious foods and make the rest of your calories count. And if you are diabetic, your insulin or diabetes pills may need to be adjusted after you start PD because of the sugar in the PD solution. If you are on standard in-center HD, you may not have an appetite at first. After a few weeks on HD, your appetite should come back. If it doesn't, you may not be getting enough dialysis. For more information on adequate dialysis, listen to Module 10, Getting Adequate Dialysis. If you have diabetes, you need to keep a close eye on your weight and activity level, especially if you are using insulin. Here are some tips to increase your appetite and get you the calories you need. Your dietitian can help you think of others. Choose the tips that you think may work for you. Eat 6 small meals a day instead of 3 larger ones. Take bigger portions of foods that I like and tolerate well. If protein foods don't appeal to me right now, I can try them at a different temperature, like a cold chicken salad sandwich. Choose high-calorie foods like meats and casseroles instead of low-calorie foods like salads or broth. Cook foods in a way that adds calories, like sautéing or frying in oil that is low in saturated fat, like canola or olive oil. Eat in a calm, relaxed atmosphere. Use a pretty plate or a colorful garnish so food is more appealing. Drink fluids that have calories instead of water, plain tea, or coffee. Use tasteless protein powders or drinks to increase protein. Protein drinks count as part of my fluid limit. Eat bland, light-colored foods at cool temperatures, like a turkey sandwich or pasta salad. Choose foods that are easy to chew, like meatloaf, casseroles, or omelets, rather than steak. Add extra calories to foods that I already eat. Ask my dietitian about using olive oil, mayonnaise, low-salt salad dressings, sour cream, or butter. If I don't have diabetes, I can also use jelly, honey, syrup, non-dairy whipped topping, or other high-calorie treats that most people have to avoid. Avoid foods with strong smells. Leave the room when food is cooked if smells bother me. Drink my fluids after my meal so they don't fill me up. Talk to my doctor about drugs to improve my appetite, for example, Marinol and Megase. Exercise to increase my appetite. Losing weight. If you need to lose weight, there are many ways to do it. Fad diets that use food combinations, fat-burning foods, or certain food colors have not been shown to work. Your best bet is to talk with your dietitian about what has and has not worked for you. He or she can help you find a way to reach your weight loss goal and stay healthy at the same time. In the meantime, here are some tips to reduce calories. Which one do you want to try? Order salad dressing on the side. Dip my fork in the salad dressing, then spear a lettuce leaf to save 3 to 5 teaspoons of fat. Chill gravies, sauces, and soups. Then remove the hardened fat, or use a fat-separating ladle. Buy lean cuts of meat and try roasting, broiling, or grilling to cut fat. Watch serving sizes on breads, chips, and crackers. If I stick to one serving, I can still have my treat and save lots of calories. Have just one cookie or a thin sliver of cake or pie. Sometimes a small treat can head off a big binge. If you have diabetes, learn what foods make your blood sugar go up and choose options that don't. Plan for dessert once or twice a week and look forward to it. Bake onion rings, chicken, and fish instead of frying them. Try butter-flavored cooking spray to add fried flavor. Poach chicken or fish in wine, water, or homemade low-salt broth. Avoid creamed, fried, scalloped, au gratin, or battered vegetables. Instead, try steaming, stewing, or boiling them, and seasoning with fresh herbs, Mrs. Dash, lemon juice, or vinegar. Eat just the filling and skip the crust when I have pie. The crust is where most of the calories are. Fruit pies are healthier than cream pies. Drink water instead of soda, within my limits. What's a carbohydrate? Carbohydrates, or carbs, are starches, which can turn into sugar in your body. Sugar is a fuel your cells use for energy. In fact, if you don't eat carbs, your body may burn your muscles for fuel instead. This is why carbs are an important energy source and the base of the food pyramid. Not all carbs are the same, and they're not all used in the same way in your body. Simple carbs are sugars, like white or brown sugar or sucrose, honey or syrups, fruit sugar or fructose, and milk sugar or lactose. Complex carbs also break down into sugar. Foods with complex carbohydrates may contain more vitamins, minerals, and some fiber, all of which are good for you. These foods include breads, pastas, cereal and rice, and fruits and vegetables. Diabetes and carbohydrates. If you have diabetes, the glycemic index, or glycemic load, are ways to tell how much a carb food might raise your blood sugar. In general, carbs with lots of fiber, like oatmeal, are less likely to raise blood sugar. Others, like pasta, rice, corn, and white bread, tend to raise your blood sugar. The most important thing for you to do to keep your blood sugar stable is to eat about the same amount of food at about the same time each day. Many dietitians prefer to use carb counting instead because it's easier to learn and remember. Food labels require a listing of carbs. Your dietitian will help you learn what you need to know to get the right amount of carbs in your meal plan. Some fats are good. Fats get a lot of bad press, and many of us eat more fat than we should. But our bodies need fat to produce energy, protect organs from injury, keep a constant temperature, and help absorb some vitamins. People on dialysis are at a higher risk of heart disease. And with diabetes, this risk is even higher. This means that choosing heart-healthy fats is even more important for you than it is for everyone else. What's heart-healthy? Fats that are liquid at room temperature or unsaturated are less likely to form artery-clogging plaques that can damage your heart. Fats that are solid at room temperature, like meat fat, margarine, and butter, are saturated, and it's best to eat less of these. Which of these unsaturated fats do you think you might add to your meal plan? Olive oil, which is good on salads or for frying. Canola oil. Sesame oil, which is highly flavored and good in stir fries. Walnut or avocado oil, good for salad dressings. Fatty fish like salmon, tuna, and herring. Safflower or sunflower oil. Corn oil. Cottonseed oil. Soybean oil. What if I'm a vegetarian? Most vegetable sources of protein, like beans, soy, and grains, also have very high levels of potassium and/or phosphorus. The biggest challenge of being a vegetarian on dialysis is getting enough high-quality protein to avoid malnutrition and muscle wasting without getting dangerous levels of potassium and phosphorus. It can be done, though you'll need to work closely with your dietitian. How easy this is depends on whether you will eat any sources of animal protein, like eggs, chicken, fish, or dairy. Track your lab tests to see if you are succeeding, and talk to your dietitian about how to make your vegetarian meal plan work for you. Here is what one vegetarian patient says. Since I will not eat red meat no matter what, I made the choice to fix two meals each noon and evening. Often, that means simply adding some broiled red meat to my husband's plate with small portions of whatever vegetable, with or without soy or tofu entree, that I have. When I fix fish for myself, he uses that for his protein, and when I fix poultry for him, I may eat a bite or two of it. What's the beef with protein? Your body needs protein for healthy muscles, bones, hair, and skin. Your cells, organs, and muscles are protein structures made of building blocks called amino acids. Your body can make some amino acids, but not all of them. The amino acids your body can't make, you get by eating protein foods in animal or plant forms. You may hear talk of high-quality or high-biological-value protein versus low-quality or low-biological-value protein. High-quality protein sources have more of the essential amino acids, which humans cannot make. Some forms of high-quality protein are beef, pork, and lamb, chicken, turkey, and other birds, fish, shrimp, and other seafood, eggs, and soy like tofu, tempeh, and edamame. Some forms of low-quality protein are nuts, dry beans and peas, and some grains like amaranth, buckwheat, enriched cornmeal, quinoa, brown rice, and dark rye. Most healthy Americans eat more protein than their bodies really need, but many people with kidney failure lose their desire for protein foods. PD can cause some protein loss through the membrane, and standard in-center HD causes your body to break down protein faster than usual, so you may need to make an effort to get enough protein. If you don't eat enough protein, and you lose protein from dialysis, your body will start to use the protein in your muscles for fuel. This can cause muscle wasting over time. Muscle wasting leads to severe fatigue, loss of mental alertness, increased risk of infections, and weight loss. If you are at a friend's house or a restaurant, how do you know how much protein you're getting in a serving? Here's an easy way to remember. A matchbook-sized portion is about 1 ounce. A deck of cards-sized portion is about 3 ounces. A paperback book-sized portion is about 8 ounces. Your monthly lab tests are another way to know if you're getting enough protein. Serum albumin is a test that measures protein in your blood. Strive for an albumin level greater than 4 grams per deciliter. Research has shown that albumin levels greater than 4.0 grams per deciliter are linked with longer life for people on dialysis. Albumin levels lower than 4 grams per deciliter are linked with an increased risk of death. For more information about blood tests, listen to Module 7, Understanding Kidney Lab Tests. Using protein supplements. If you need more protein, check with your dietitian. Many high-protein foods are also high in phosphorus. Your dietitian will help you adjust your food choices and your phosphorus binder for the best results. Some protein powders are safe for you to use. Again, check with your dietitian. He or she is likely to suggest a powder based on whey protein. These powders can be added to regular or sugar-free, no-added sugar foods like pudding or cream pie fillings, applesauce, shakes, fruit juice or milk, and low-sodium soups. An easy way to use protein powder is to mix 1 to 2 tablespoons with a little bit of water to make a paste, then add the paste to your choice of foods. Here are 3 shake recipes you can try. The Power Shake. For 1 serving, which has 13 grams of protein, blend 1 cup of unfortified rice milk, look in the natural foods aisle of your grocery store, with 1 tablespoon of protein powder, and 1 packet original or no sugar added Carnation Instant Breakfast. The Fruity Frozen Dessert. For 5 4-ounce servings, which have 8 grams of protein per serving, blend 1/2 cup of protein powder with 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla with 1/2 cup of hot water, along with 1/2 cup of drained regular or low or no sugar canned peaches. Then mix in 4 ounces of Cool Whip Light, fat-free or sugar-free. Divide into 5 small paper cups and freeze. The Fruit Smoothie. For 2 servings, which have 5 grams of protein per serving, blend 1/2 cup of fresh or frozen, regular or unsweetened whole strawberries, 1 cup of unfortified rice milk, 4 teaspoons of sugar or sugar substitute, with 2 tablespoons of protein powder. Getting the right amount of sodium. Your body needs sodium for healthy nerves and to balance fluid levels. Less than 1,000 milligrams of sodium per day is needed to do these tasks, but the average person takes in more than 5,000 milligrams per day. Salt is the most common source of sodium in our foods. It's the second most common additive in processed foods today and is the main way we get sodium. As much as 75% of the sodium we eat comes from salt added to foods by manufacturers. The bottom line, most of us like salty flavors. Sodium enhances the flavors of foods, and many of us eat way too much salt because of this. Diets high in sodium put you at risk for high blood pressure, heart disease, and stroke. If you have diabetes, you have an even higher risk of heart disease and stroke, especially if you have high blood pressure. Limiting salt will help you reduce those risks and stay healthier. Sodium acts like a magnet to attract fluid. It makes you thirsty, and it holds extra fluid in your body like a sponge. Many people on dialysis struggle with thirst, but learning to eat less salt can help a lot. One of our patients said, "I started having a problem a year before dialysis. My body was hanging on to sodium, which made me very thirsty, and I had problems with edema. I'm now on dialysis and watch my sodium very carefully, and it helps a lot. I prepare simply made foods from scratch, so I have complete control over what I put in my mouth. It's surprising the amount of hidden sodium in processed foods. This is a short list of things that have been banned from my pantry. Buttermilk baking mix, canned soups, dry soup mixes, any mix that ends in helper, tomato and vegetable juices, and snack foods such as chips and pretzels with salt." A diet high in sodium may also cause headaches and make you feel sluggish. If you do PD, you may be able to have 3,000 to 4,000 milligrams per day of sodium. Ask your doctor and dietitian to be sure. If you do standard in-center HD, this treatment does not remove all of the extra fluid that is inside of and between your cells. So you will need to limit sodium to just 1,200 to 2,000 milligrams per day if you choose this treatment option. Your doctor and dietitian will help you to learn how much sodium you can have each day. In general, if you do PD, you may be able to have 3,000 to 4,000 milligrams per day. This is less than most people eat and may be a big change for you. The good news is, most people get used to eating less salt in a few weeks and say that food tastes better without it. You can taste the real flavor of the food, not just the salty taste. Here are some ideas for eating less sodium. Choose the ones that look like they might work for you. Read all food labels. Packaged foods must list how much sodium is in each serving. Some foods don't taste salty, but have a lot of sodium. A low-sodium product has less than 140 milligrams per serving. Choose a cereal that has less than 280 milligrams of sodium per serving and TV dinners that have less than 600 milligrams of sodium per dinner. Cook without salt. 1 teaspoon of salt has 2130 milligrams of sodium. Limit processed foods like microwave dinners, canned foods, seasoning packets, hard cheeses, pickles and olives, hot dogs, and other deli meats. Avoid salt substitutes. Most use potassium instead of sodium, and potassium is also limited in a kidney meal plan. Read over-the-counter drug labels. Some have lots of sodium. Use herbs and spices to flavor my food. Rub the herbs in my hands to release more flavor and increase the amounts I use. Garlic powder, not garlic salt, works very well. Use vinegar and lemon juice to flavor my food instead of salt. Potassium. The key to feeling good and a healthy heart. In your body, potassium helps your nerves talk to your muscles, including your heart. Too much or too little potassium can make your heart skip beats or even stop. Your monthly lab test will check your potassium levels to be sure they stay in the safe range. Track your lab results and work with your dietitian to learn how to adjust your food choices if you need to. Potassium comes mainly from fruits and vegetables. It is also found in nuts, dried beans, dairy products, and meats. Your body uses what it needs, and healthy kidneys remove the rest. Since your kidneys are not working well, extra potassium can build up in your body. As someone on dialysis, you are likely to have a daily potassium limit. People on PD may have between 3,000 and 4,000 milligrams per day. On PD, you do daily exchanges and may even need to eat more foods with potassium. People on HD may have between 2,000 and 3,000 milligrams per day. Ask your dietitian and your doctor how much potassium you can have each day. Your lab tests will tell you if you are on track. For most people on dialysis, potassium should be less than 6.0 milliequivalents per liter. If your labs are good, then you know you're doing okay. If your potassium is high, write down what you're eating for a week so you can sit down with your dietitian and figure out how you can do better. For more information about lab tests and signs of too much or too little potassium, listen to Module 7, Understanding Kidney Lab Tests. Food labels can give you a lot of information about what's in your food. The law requires packaged foods to have labels that tell you about calories, fat, sodium, carbohydrates, protein, and certain nutrients like vitamin A, vitamin C, calcium, and iron. Unfortunately, food labels don't have to tell you how much potassium is in a food. Some do, but you usually need another source for this information. Where can you find out how much potassium is in a food, and how much sodium, and calories, and phosphorus? We'll talk about that next. There are three ways for you to learn, and which one you choose will depend on how much you want to know, and how much work you are willing to do to learn it. First, you can get a list of common foods with high levels of phosphorus, potassium, or sodium. There are some lists at the end of the print version of this module, and you can ask your dietitian for helpful lists and other information. If the foods on these lists are the ones you usually eat, this may be all the help you need to stay healthy. 2, you can use a reference book of food values to look up exact values of favorite foods that are not on the lists. This way, you can make good choices and fit in foods you love in safe amounts. Since you don't need the book very often, you can borrow it from a library. You may find that a slice or two of pizza is a treat you can fit into your diet plan. And 3, you can design your own plan by looking up foods in a food value book and making a daily chart. Some patients like to do this because it helps them feel more in control and lets them eat foods that are not on the lists. Looking up foods takes a lot of time at first, but you'll start to learn which foods to enjoy in small amounts and which ones you can safely eat more of. If you make your own plan, ask your dietitian to look it over to make sure you haven't missed anything. A sample meal planning grid for a person on PD. In the print version of this module, we have sample meal planning grids that list the protein, phosphorus, potassium, sodium, and fluids for a sample breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So if you do PD, you could have a breakfast of an egg beater omelet with a half cup of mushrooms and 1 ounce of shredded cheddar cheese, 2 strips of low-salt bacon, a bagel with 1 ounce of cream cheese, a half cup of raspberries, and 12-ounce mug of coffee. For lunch, you might have a meatball sandwich and a side salad with lettuce, garbanzo beans, 2 slices of tomato, and 2 tablespoons of ranch dressing with 16 ounces of water. For dinner, a sample menu would include roasted chicken, a half cup of broccoli, a half cup of corn, a dinner roll with butter, a brownie, ice cream, and 16 ounces of water. The total? It's recommended that you get at least 50 grams of protein per day, and this menu gives you 114 grams. It's best to keep your phosphorus level between 800 and 1200 milligrams, and this menu has 1180 milligrams. You can have as much as 3000 to 4000 milligrams of potassium, and this plan has 2297 milligrams. It's best to limit sodium to 3000 to 4000 milligrams, and this meal plan has 2380. And finally, on PD, you may be able to have 32 to 64 ounces of fluid per day, and this plan has 50 ounces. Sample meal planning grid for person on standard in-center HD. If you do standard in-center HD, you could have a breakfast of scrambled egg beaters, a blueberry muffin, a cup of fresh strawberries, and 8 ounces of coffee. For lunch, you might have a turkey club sandwich with turkey, low-salt bacon, lettuce, tomato, and 2 tomato slices, 2 cups of cheese popcorn, and a cup of canned peaches, and 8 ounces of grape juice. For dinner, a sample menu would include 3 ounces of baked cod, a cup of corn, a lettuce salad, a slice of cherry pie, ice cream, and 16 ounces of water. This menu gives you 62 grams of protein, which is more than the recommended 50 grams. You'd get 783 milligrams of phosphorus, which would be a bit under your 800 to 1200 milligram limit. This plan has 2834 milligrams of potassium, and you can have from 2000 to 3000 milligrams. It has 1620 milligrams of sodium, which is right in the middle of your range of 1200 to 1600 milligrams. And finally, on HD, you may be able to have 36 ounces of fluid per day, and this plan has exactly that. Serving sizes. Have you ever seen a snack-sized bag of chips that only has 110 calories per serving, but there are 3 servings in the bag? Eating 3 servings can turn even a low-potassium food into a high-potassium mistake. Serving sizes work the other way, too. If a favorite food is very high in potassium, you may still be able to enjoy it in a smaller serving. When you learn about how much potassium fruits and vegetables have, you may want to try out some new foods and make some new favorites. As one patient said, "After 17 years of hemodialysis, I know the diet inside and out, and for me it was essential to learn how to fit these favorite foods into my diet. I feel it was safer and easier to do this than to cut them out entirely and feel deprived, possibly going on a binge and eating too much of the real thing. I learned how to calculate the food composition of what I was eating over the entire day, even without my handy-dandy computer program. This allowed me to have foods that I loved which were high in potassium or sodium by creating recipes that used less of the high items and modifying what I ate the rest of the day to fit in my special treat. This way, I was able to feel less restricted and less different from those I was eating with. It can be easier to make a PD or standard in-center HD diet work for you, even with diabetes, if you make educated trade-offs. Your dietitian can help you learn how. Don't think of any food as off-limits. Pizza with cheese is not off-limits. It just means you may have smaller amounts, and you will need to calculate your potassium intake carefully the rest of that day according to your daily allotment. It's not cheating. It's being aware of your limits and knowing how much you can afford safely. Watching what you eat is not the only factor in good potassium control. You also need good dialysis. If your KT over V or URR, measures of dialysis adequacy, are not in the target range, extra potassium may build up in your body. To learn more about measures of dialysis adequacy, listen to Module 10, Getting Adequate Dialysis. What is phosphorus? Phosphorus is the second most common mineral in the body after calcium. Its job is to help your body use energy and to build strong bones and teeth. Like potassium, extra phosphorus is removed by healthy kidneys. When your kidneys don't work, phosphorus can build up in your body. This will cause severe itching in some people. Renal bone disease can be a long-term problem of some types of dialysis. Over time, losing calcium from the bones makes them weak, frail, and painful. When calcium and phosphorus are out of balance, the parathyroid glands in your neck make too much parathyroid hormone, or PTH. Too much PTH causes even more calcium to be pulled out of your bones. It's a vicious cycle. But renal bone disease does not have to happen. If you keep your calcium and phosphorus levels in the safe range, the cycle won't start, and your bones and whole body can stay healthy. To learn more about how to avoid renal bone disease, listen to Module 16, The Long-Term Effects of Dialysis. Ask your dietitian about what your calcium, phosphorus product, and PTH levels should be. Each lab is a little different, but usually the normal range for a person on dialysis are something like these. Calcium, 8.4 to 10 milligrams per deciliter. Phosphorus, 3.5 to 5.5 milligrams per deciliter. The calcium-phosphorus product should be less than 55. Intact PTH should be 150 to 300 picograms per milliliter. How can you keep your calcium and phosphorus in the safe range? You have three tools you can use. One is taking phosphate binders. Another is making careful food choices. Your monthly blood test will tell you if you are succeeding. The third is to get a kidney transplant or to get more dialysis, for example, by doing nocturnal HD. Phosphorus is very common in most foods. In fact, it's so common that it would be almost impossible to keep safe phosphorus levels just by eating the right foods. Taking phosphate binders allows you to choose from a wide range of foods. Phosphate binders are drugs that remove the extra phosphorus to your stool. Binders can be antacids like Tums, or may be special drugs for this purpose only, like Renagel, Foslo, Fosrenol, or others. Talk with your doctor and dietitian about how many phosphate binders you need to take with meals and snacks. Take your binders within 5 to 10 minutes before or after your snacks and meals. Take fewer binders with a snack or small meal, and more binders with a big meal. They'll help you keep your bones healthy. Antacids. Not all antacids are good binders. Some antacids that are calcium-based may be used safely by people on dialysis to bind extra phosphorus. But other antacids like rolaids, milk of magnesia, Mylanta, and many others may contain aluminum or magnesium. These ingredients can build up to toxic levels in people on dialysis. Always check ingredients and ask your doctor, pharmacist, or dietitian before taking any over-the-counter products. You can't completely manage phosphorus by watching what you eat, but it helps a lot. Phosphorus is found in high-quality protein foods like meats and dairy products, and in low-quality protein foods like nuts and dried beans. Other common high-phosphorus foods include cola drinks and chocolate. Phosphorus is also plentiful in processed foods like breakfast cereals, especially whole grain cereals. You may need to limit phosphorus in foods to about 800 to 1200 milligrams per day. Does this mean you can never eat these foods again? No. If you want a food that is high in phosphorus, try to eat smaller portions, take extra binders, and plan the rest of your food for the day to save some room. We'll give you a chart of high phosphorus foods at the end of this module that you can use as a resource. Which vitamins do I need? People on dialysis have slightly different vitamin needs than the general population. Dialysis washes out some vitamins. Other vitamins may build up in your body to unsafe levels. Your doctor may prescribe a supplement, and it is likely to be a special vitamin just for people on dialysis. Check with your doctor before taking any over-the-counter vitamin, herbal supplement, or folk remedies. Our chart will tell you a little more about specific vitamins. Here is a list of some of the vitamins you need, what they do for you, and how much you will need. For vitamin A, which helps with eyesight, bone, and tissue growth, and helps with your immunity to illness, you don't need any when you're on dialysis. For vitamin B1 or thiamine, which helps with energy production, your nerve functions, and your carbohydrate use, a person on dialysis needs between 1 and 5 milligrams per day. Vitamin B2, or riboflavin, helps turn nutrients from food into energy your body can use, and if you're on dialysis, you'll need between 1.2 and 1.7 milligrams per day. Vitamin B5, or pantothenic acid, helps with your energy use, your use of foods and hormones, and if you're on dialysis, you'll need between 4.0 and 7.0 milligrams per day. Vitamin B6, which is known as pyridoxone, pyridoxal, or pyridoxamine, helps with your use of protein, helps your body form red blood cells, and helps form DNA. For vitamin B6, if you're on dialysis, you'll need 10 milligrams a day. Vitamin B12, which is known as cobalamin, helps you to maintain healthy nerves and red blood cells, and also helps to form DNA. A person on dialysis needs 2 micrograms per day. Vitamin C, or ascorbic acid, helps to form the structure of bones, cartilage, muscle, and blood vessels. And if you're on dialysis, you'll need 60 milligrams per day. Vitamin D, or calciferol, helps the body absorb calcium and phosphorus. There is no regular lab value for this, and it's different for everyone. Vitamin E, or tocopherol, helps to protect cells against damaging free radicals. If you're on dialysis, you won't need any vitamin E. For vitamin K, or metadione, that's something that helps blood clotting, and you won't need any of that either. Biotin helps your body use protein, folic acid, and other vitamins. People on dialysis need between 0.03 and 0.1 milligrams per day. Folic acid, or folate, helps to form red blood cells and DNA, and you'll need between 0.8 and 1.0 milligrams per day. Niacin, or nicotinic acid, helps the skin, nerves, and the digestive system, and a person on dialysis needs between 13 and 19 milligrams per day. How much vitamin C is too much? Some people believe large doses or megadoses of vitamin C are healthy. But if you are on dialysis, getting too much may hurt you. Vitamin C breaks down in the body into a crystal called oxalate. Healthy kidneys remove extra oxalate, but dialysis does not. So if you're on dialysis, oxalate may build up and cause bone and joint deposits and pain. This is why you should limit vitamin C pills to 60 milligrams per day, which is generally the amount in multivitamins for kidney patients. If you do daily or nocturnal HD, you may be able to have more vitamin C because these treatments remove twice as much or more oxalate as PD or standard in-center HD. Don't get flooded by fluids. When your kidneys don't work, it is harder to keep the right fluid balance. Your body is less able to remove extra sodium, and if you eat too much sodium, you will get thirsty. Then when you drink, your body cannot get rid of the extra fluid. Part of the job of dialysis is to take off extra fluid your kidneys don't remove anymore. This is important because if you have too much fluid, you might have swelling in your face, hands, and feet, which is called edema. If you have edema, you may notice that your shoes or your rings don't fit. Your eyesight may change. It may be harder to breathe. Some people have mistaken fluid in the lungs for asthma. If you have a lot of extra fluid, your ankles or legs may even dent when you press on them with a finger. This is called pitting edema. Other signs of too much fluid in your body include headaches and low energy, trouble breathing from fluid buildup in your lungs, heart damage from stretching your heart with too much fluid, and high blood pressure that can lead to stroke. But PD or standard in-center HD can't do all of the fluid removal. You have to help too. Some people on PD and most people on standard in-center HD have some type of fluid limit. Daily and nocturnal HD remove much more fluid, so using those treatments may mean that you don't need a fluid limit. How much fluid you can have each day will depend on how much urine you make. PD and fluids. Most people on PD have some kidney function left, so they still make some urine. Over time, this kidney function, called residual renal function, often drops. How much fluid you can have each day will depend on how much urine you make. So it is important to measure your kidney function to be sure you are getting enough dialysis. If your kidney function drops, you may need more PD and/or less fluids. Follow your exchanges as prescribed and watch your dwell times too. You can reabsorb the dialysate and gain fluid weight if you dwell too long. Be alert for signs of edema and tell your PD nurse, doctor, or dietitian if you have fluid buildup, if your weight goes up a lot very quickly, you're using more 4.25 strength solution than you did before, or if you have headaches. To learn about getting enough PD, listen to Module 10, Getting Adequate Dialysis. HD and fluids. Limiting fluids will make standard in-center HD much easier on you. You'll have fewer painful muscle cramps and be less likely to feel washed out after a treatment. Your dietitian will tell you how much fluid you may have each day. Many people on HD need to limit fluids to about 36 ounces a day. Water is heavy. A liter of water weighs 1 kilo or 2.2 pounds. With no kidney function, your fluid limit on standard in-center HD will be about 1 liter per day or just under 32 ounces. Between dialysis treatments, you would be able to drink 2 liters and gain 2 kilos or 4.4 pounds. If you weigh yourself at the same time each day, wearing the same clothes, you'll know if you're on track. If you make some urine or do daily or nocturnal HD, you will be able to drink more fluids. Here are some easy, proven ways to limit fluids and deal with thirst without drinking too much. Which ones do you want to try? Drink only when I am thirsty and just enough to quench my thirst. Be aware of all the fluids in my diet. A fluid is anything liquid at room temperature. This means ice cream or jello, soup or gravy, anything like that. Drink from small cups or glasses. Eat a piece of cold or frozen fruit. Eat soups or cereal with a fork instead of a spoon to save fluids. A little ice can quench thirst more than the same amount of liquid. I'll try freezing regular or diet ginger ale or apple juice into slushes or popsicles. Rinse my mouth with cold water or swish mouthwash and spit it out. Suck on a piece of regular or sugar-free hard candy, an ice cube, a lemon wedge, frozen grapes, or chew regular or sugar-free gum to stimulate saliva. Suck on a piece of regular or sugar-free peppermint candy, which will help quench my thirst and keep my breath fresh. Check with my doctor or pharmacist to see if any of the medications cause thirst or dry mouth. Each day, fill a jar with the water equal to my daily fluid limit. Each time I drink, I'll pour that amount out of the jar. I'll be able to see how much I have left. Spread out my fluids evenly throughout the day. If I'm gaining too much weight, I'll measure all my fluids for a day or two, so I'll know just how much I have been drinking. Avoid high sodium or very sweet foods. Meal planning and eating out. Making up meal plans won't always be a lot of work. Each plan you put together helps you learn, and after a while, it does get easier. Of course, planning meals isn't the only thing to think about. Someone has to cook. The busier we all are, the more we tend to rely on fast foods or convenience foods. Trouble is, most of these foods have a lot of sodium, phosphorus, and potassium. They're costly, too. Cooking from scratch can take time, but there are ways to make it easier. Here are a few ideas. Which ones do you think might work for you? Keep a list of meals that are quick to fix, like omelets, so I can eat something healthy in a hurry with little effort. Adapt favorite recipes so I can eat foods I like. Cook ahead for the week and put meal-sized portions in the freezer. I can heat them up quickly all week. Read food labels and find some convenience foods that will fit into my healthy meal plans. Another way to get meals besides cooking them yourself is to eat at a friend's home or to go to a restaurant. You can eat out and still stick with a standard in-center HD meal plan. It just takes some thought. Restaurant food is often salty and in large portions. When you eat out, you'll be more likely to get a kidney-friendly meal if you ask for what you want. As a customer, it's okay for you to say that you don't want sugar, salt, or monosodium glutamate, MSG, which is a flavor enhancer often used in Chinese food in your food, or that you want dressings on the side. Restaurants are service businesses, and they get more repeat customers if they make you happy. These days, many restaurants have heart-healthy or low-fat menu choices. These may have less salt. You still need to be alert to limit foods that are extra high in potassium, like beans, avocados, oranges, bananas and plantains, dried fruits like figs, raisins, and currants, and chocolate. Very often, the foods advertised as low-fat have more salt and sugar, and the ones touted as low-salt have more fat. This is because salt, sugar, and fat add flavor. Before you order, ask the waiter how the food is prepared. Be aware of foods that include salt, soy sauce, tamari, MSG, etc., because these will usually make you more thirsty. If the food is made fresh for each order, they can leave these seasonings out. If a big batch is made up, you may want to make another choice. If you would like to order a menu item that includes something you wish to avoid, ask for a substitute item. For example, if you would like a chicken dish that contains cheese and tomatoes, you might ask to replace them with mustard. In general, it's a good idea to avoid these high-sodium foods in restaurants: soups, heavily marinated items, cream sauces and gravies, soy sauce and ketchup, salad dressings, deep-fried foods, salt-cured meats including cold cuts, sausage, and bacon, all salt including sea salt, garlic salt, etc. Good choices include salads, oil and vinegar or lemon juice, vegetables that are low or moderate in potassium, fruits which have low to moderate potassium, breads, and grilled or baked foods. Remember your binders. Some people keep spare containers of binders in the glove box of their car, in a purse, and in their pocket just in case. Did you know that just one fast food fried chicken breast may have 1,190 milligrams of sodium? A fast food fish sandwich may have 1,330 milligrams of sodium. And a small cheeseburger at some fast food restaurants may have 750 milligrams of sodium. No wonder they supersize the drinks. Fast food is meant to be fast, not always healthy. Still, if you're careful, you can find food that won't leave you thirsty for the next 2 days. Ask for the nutritional information at your favorite places or check the company website. The key to eating out on a dialysis meal plan is to be prepared. But once in a while, we all have a splurge. When you do, don't feel too guilty about it. Just try to forgive yourself and get back on track. Strategies for lifestyle changes. We eat to have energy, but what we eat and when has to do with our culture, our families, personal habits, stress, and lots of other reasons. How long it will take you to apply what we've covered will depend on what obstacles you must overcome in your own life. As you think about using the ideas in this module, what obstacles do you need to overcome in order to succeed? Think of one person on your healthcare team and one person in your personal life that could help you overcome these obstacles. Consider your options. One of the main goals of this module is to help you learn what choices you have about your food and fluids. You can look at this information in two ways. One, you can feel cheated, restricted, and victimized by your kidney disease. Or two, you can look at your food choices as a chance to feel better, have a higher quality of life, and be able to do more of what you enjoy. Same situation, different ways of looking at it. It's all how you choose to see your options. Plan ahead. A very practical way to bring about the change you want is learning to plan ahead. Plan out what your meals are going to be, either daily or weekly. Make a shopping list and stick to it. This will save you money, too. Think through how you will prepare the meals. Decide where you will eat: home, at a restaurant, a picnic, someone else's home, etc. Once you get into the habit of planning meals, it will seem natural to keep it up. A small investment of time and effort brings a great return. Keep a nutrition and health journal. Keeping a journal will help you keep track of how you feel, based on what you eat, how much you weigh, what questions you have, and what you learn. Use a notebook to write down your daily food and beverage intake. Include portion sizes and how the foods were prepared. your notes about dialysis, exercise, and meal planning, what you've learned from your own reading about CKD and nutrition, etc. Your weight, taken the same time each day, wearing the same clothes. Symptoms you want to mention to your doctor. For example, itchy skin may mean too much phosphorus. Questions about food choices, preparation, etc. to ask your dietitian. Keep sight of your goal to stay healthy. Keeping healthy means doing more than just following doctor's orders. The meal planning ideas we've covered must become yours. That means making a personal commitment to yourself to follow through. If you do, it will help to keep you on track as you seek to live well with your kidney disease. For extra help on motivation, listen to Module 4, Following Your Treatment Plan, and to Module 5, Coping with Kidney Disease. This is the conclusion of Module 9 of Kidney School. We hope you enjoyed it and found it helpful, and we'll listen to other modules.